as well.
Okay, I'm good to go.
Great. Okay. Let's go now to David Haggith, who's author and publisher of the Great Recession blog and also a truck driver in the United States. David, thanks so much for joining us on RT. Good to have you on the program today.
Sure, you're welcome.
Just tell us a bit about your story and background. Why exactly have you decided not to take the vaccine, even though that's obviously put your job and your livelihood at risk?
Well, I have an underlying health condition that makes it so that it would be risky for me to take that. And I explained that to my employer, the Lummi Nation School, trying to get an exemption based on the CDC's medical exemptions, but I wasn't successful at getting that. My feeling is that as a person with chronic fatigue syndrome, many people with that illness have had serious repercussions from taking the vaccine. So I didn't wish to take the vaccine. Plus, I already had COVID, so I don't see any need to take it.
And yeah, I did read quite rightly in your op-ed that you have had COVID. Have you not been tempted though to top up your antibodies? Obviously, a lot of people that I know have had COVID. I've been one of them as well, and their antibodies obviously drop with time, unlike antibodies from say hepatitis B vaccine or other vaccines as well. Does it not worry you could catch the illness again?
Well, I had the opportunity to take an antibody serum, which is one way to hype up your antibodies. And I didn't take that at the time when I was sick because I really wasn't struggling with it that much. And my physician said, well, we can give you, this antibody serum and it will help you fight it. And I thought, well, I'm just not having that much problem fighting it. So I'd rather stay with my own antibodies doing the job because maybe I'll build up a better antibody response that way. And it hasn't been that long since I had it. I got it late August. And so it's only been a couple of months since I had it. In fact, I couldn't even get a vaccine yet because you have to wait 3 months before you get it.
And am I right in thinking, even though you had recently suffered from COVID, you have relatively high levels of antibodies, your employer still insisted that you get the vaccine or effectively face losing your job?
Yes. They wouldn't. I put together a rather involved series of studies reflecting my underlying condition and studies showing that natural immunity without the vaccine is actually more effective than the vaccinated immunity, so that I don't need it and that I'm not a risk to others. But I couldn't get an MD to sign off on it because, one, I don't have a regular physician to go to. And so there's nobody who really knows my underlying history in the last 10 years because I haven't gone to hospitals or doctors much. Prior to that, I did. And so I presented all of that, my medical records as to what my condition was. But without that signature from an MD, they weren't going to go for it. And most MDs are very reluctant to sign those things except on the strictest of grounds.
And just looking into the future, obviously, even though your antibody levels may be high now, once those antibody levels drop, is it just a matter of time before you would consider getting the COVID vaccine to obviously protect yourself and others around you?
Possibly. I considered getting it before I got COVID, and, because I thought the risk might be greater. You're weighing the risks of a vaccine that hasn't been tested long-term against what the risks are of getting the disease. And so that's a calculation everybody ought to be able to make for themselves. It's their body, their risk to determine. I know that I'm not a risk to others and that actually the antibodies from having had COVID last longer than the antibodies from getting the vaccine. I read a test or a study just recently that showed that people who have had COVID are storing the antibodies in their bone marrow, which is where your body stores antibodies that it plans to use for long-term protection, like when you protection from things like chickenpox and measles that you never get again. So it's strong evidence of long-term protection. We all know now that the vaccine starts wearing off in about 4.5 months, and that's about the shortest time that your natural response would wear off. And the longest time can be for the rest of your life, and that's just not known yet.
You're clearly someone who's into science and sort of doing your own research and as much as you can about COVID and the vaccines. And you mentioned studies that have shown that people do have antibodies and long-term natural immunity and its strength, but also studies from, you know, the WHO and many other esteemed medical organizations, governmental and independent, have shown that the vaccine is recommended even for people who have had COVID to protect themselves and others. Where do you get your information? I mean, how do you decide which studies to sort of build into your decision or to discount in that case?
Yeah, one of the studies that I included in my application for an exemption to the vaccine was a study that came out by Israel. Now, Israel's, you know, the most vaccinated country probably on the face of the earth. And they did a huge study of their population comparing people who had been vaccinated and people but never had COVID, and people who had COVID but had never been vaccinated. And their study showed that the people who had been vaccinated but never had COVID were 15 times greater at risk of getting COVID than people who had had it of getting it again. And they were 7 times more at risk for being hospitalized or dying. So the protection from having had it is significantly greater than the protection from the vaccine. And common sense would tell you the same thing. It's your body that gives you immunity, your immune system. It's not the vaccine. The vaccine contains nothing in it that boosts the quality of your immune system or gives it nutrition or energizes it. All it contains is something to trigger your immune system to respond. So when you take the vaccine, you're responding to a very tiny particle that your body is triggered to manufacture itself that's, you know, part of the virus, and it learns to attack that. When you get the disease, your body's immune system is triggering on the entire virus and everything it can do, and you actually have the disease, so you actually have to fight the whole war to kill it off. And so your immune response is going to be a lot broader and a lot deeper with a lot more things your body can remember that it did. So common sense would tell you that a natural immunity acquired from being triggered by the actual virus will be stronger than immunity triggered by just the spike protein.
Just tell us a bit more about your daughter-in-law, because we understand she also didn't want to get the vaccine. What was her exact reason for that decision, which also obviously put her at risk of losing her job?
Yeah, she works at a Peace Health Hospital, St. Joseph's in Bellingham, and she was terminated because she refused the vaccine because she's pregnant. Now, the irony here is that she works in the obstetrics ward of the hospital, and they won't give, you know, any leeway to somebody who's pregnant, even though the drug has not been tested on pregnant women. So what she pointed out is it hasn't been tested. There's some indication that it could accumulate in ovaries and cause sterilization. And she's pregnant with a baby daughter. So she doesn't want to take the risk of possibly producing a daughter who's sterile from birth. She doesn't know that that would happen. But there's been no studies to prove the long-term safety of this drug with pregnant women. So she's terminated by the pregnancy ward for not doing something that the pregnancy ward has never told other women to do, which is to take experimental vaccines.
I mean, the CDC guidelines, as well as obviously the WHO, they have said that the vaccines are recommended to pregnant women. I mean, I think it's probably fair to say they've not been tested completely. Yes, surely there's a lack of long-term testing, but they have been recommended, and probably they are based on some sort of science, some sort of decisions on the balance of probability that would indicate there are more of benefit than of harm. Do you think these organizations would recommend vaccines to children, pregnant women, even though they consider them not safe?
I don't think they would do it if they considered it not safe. And I was just reading through the CDC guidelines on that very thing this morning myself, just to go back over it. And you're right, they do recommend it for pregnant women on the basis that they say they think that the risk from getting COVID if you're pregnant would be greater than the risk of the vaccine. But they also admit that it hasn't had long-term testing. When I got COVID, the health department that called me admitted that there's been no long-term testing. As the guy said, he said, how could there be long-term testing? The only way you can test for that is to run long-term for several years and see what happens. And that opportunity just isn't there yet. So we don't know how babies are going to be coming out that have, you know, whether or not there's going to be effects from vaccines. So far, there's not a lot showing there is. But shouldn't that be her risk calculation to make, not others?
How far off do you think the US is from mandatory vaccinations? I mean, people do still technically have a choice, though life is undoubtedly harder for those who make the choice not to take the vaccine for whatever reason. Do you think forced vaccinations are on the horizon?
Well, they're happening right now. I mean, it depends on what you mean by have a choice. It's a little bit like saying, well, you have a choice. You either do this or we'll chop off your head. So you have a choice. You know, I have a choice. I can take the vaccine or I can lose my livelihood. And unfortunately, I had to choose the other, I felt. I mean, yeah, it's a choice, but it's already forced on me. Now, the Biden mandate doesn't kick in, I understand, till sometime in December. But many state governments, as you know, is the case with my state government, are anticipating that and have imposed their own mandates with shorter deadlines. In my case, I work for a tribal school, and they're not under the state mandate, but they have put on their own tribal mandate based on what's coming from the Biden administration and the state that, you know, is sympathetic to that point of view, that also requires people to be vaccinated in order to work there. They supposedly allow exceptions for medical reasons and religious reasons, but mine wasn't granted.
With the COVID cases rising in a lot of countries here where I'm in Russia, in the UK also, where I'm originally from, what do you think is the answer to stemming the tide of new COVID cases? Because the vaccines, for example, are clearly working in the UK, where there's much fewer deaths than there were in ratio to a high number of cases earlier this year and last year. What is the answer then if it isn't vaccines, if people are making the choice not to get them for whatever reason and a large proportion remain unvaccinated, which leads to obviously evolution in the virus and more cases? What is the answer?
Well, I wouldn't argue that the answer does not include vaccines. My wife, for example, chose to be vaccinated, and I never argued with her over that. It's her choice, and she was concerned about the risks either way, and that's what she decided on. But she didn't have the underlying health condition that I have that causes me to be more concerned about how my immune system will respond, because it's an immune condition. So I think that the approach needs to be more nuanced. And I think one of the most important nuances is that instead of just requiring a vaccination card to prove you're vaccinated, they should wake up and realize that natural immunity is definitely stronger than vaccination. And instead of treating people who have natural immunity like they're pariah because they don't want to add the risk of vaccination on top of, you know, the experience they already had going through COVID, I think they should create a card for that says you have natural immunity based on the fact you had COVID then, and then we do, you know, testing periodically to see where your antibodies are. And so long as your antibodies are up, you're less risk to other people than the vaccinated are.
What about cases, you know, like your daughter-in-law working in healthcare? I mean, hospitals are sacking staff for refusing vaccines. Frontline healthcare workers in the UK are also facing the possibility of losing jobs. I mean, it's a bit of a nuanced question, as you say, isn't it? Because it is a personal choice. On the other hand, you know, these people are working with the vulnerable, with the sick, with the elderly. Yet sacking staff who refuse vaccines is putting even more pressure on a healthcare system that's already creaking and already lacking frontline staff. So what's the answer there?
Well, you know, these very people who are not vaccinated and who are being fired from their hospitals and other medical facilities were the unsung heroes of the whole COVID fight for the past year, and they weren't vaccinated then. And they therefore did all this work without that vaccine protection. And we all, you know, sang about how great they were because they were taking that risk. Now we're going to kick them out unceremoniously because some of them feel they would rather continue the path they were already on, where apparently they weren't considered as being a higher risk to patients there, or they wouldn't have been there in the first place. So they were there unvaccinated. They took other measures to protect people, and it was deemed that their help was better than not having their help at all. So how is it not better now when hospitals are saying they're understaffed and, you know, the government is saying we need to do something about that, but we're going to fire 10% of the staff that's already there who did a great job for the past year because they won't comply with the vaccine? You know, if you were to take someone like me, I would be safer in a hospital than the vaccinated person would be. I'd be less apt to give COVID to somebody else. Studies have been done that show that people who have the vaccine can still carry and spread COVID. I can still carry and spread COVID. We're not different in that way. But my likelihood of not putting it down quickly is a lot smaller than their likelihood of not putting it down quickly.
We're running out of time, David, but I want to ask you one final question. What do you think the legacy will be of this administration when it comes to a leadership during the pandemic and coming out of the pandemic, trying to normalize the economy, normalize people's lives, and indeed save lives?
I think the legacy is going to be complex, and there's a couple of variables there. One is, okay, supposing worst case scenario, this vaccine that has now been forced really on the entire world, because your choice is, you know, the headsman's axe or take the vaccine, lose your career or take it. So that's not much of a choice. So it is being forced. If it turns out that this vaccine that hasn't had any long-term testing in the long term has some really bad effects on people, well, that could be an absolute catastrophe that we vaccinated so many people. And we might have wished we had gone for a little more diversity in the program, such as recognizing natural immunity. So there's that possibility of a really bad legacy, but that depends on how it turns out. In the immediate term, I think it's going to create a bad legacy for the Biden administration, because forcing these vaccines at a time when the nation has severe supply shortages that are already building and the economy is at risk is going to put the economy in real peril, because you already don't have enough truck drivers to move stuff around and to get supplies where they need to be. And now a good percentage of those are going to be fired because they're not going to take the vaccine. You know, they're kind of an independent lot and they're not real prone to take what government stuffs down their throats.
All right, David, good to talk to you. Thanks so much for your time here today on RT International.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
I'll just get in touch with